keep them in your home or love to see them in theirs. These are the creatures that bring us all together.
Reptiles. We're going to be delving into the experiences of reptile lovers from around the block and around the world. This is the Reptile Talk Podcast.
What's up, everybody? This is Jeremy Turgeon from Brass Man Reptiles.
And I'm Rob, and I'm creeping it real.
Hey, and if you're watching on YouTube, you're getting a double dose of Reptile Talk this week,
yeah,
which is pretty epic. So last episode, yesterday, we talked with Mike Rybalski.
Oh, that was awesome.
Rainforest Reptile Shows.
Super pumped.
Yeah, that was absolutely awesome. Tonight,
we have a super special guest.
I'm very excited.
I want Jeremy to introduce him. Yes. I'm super pumped.
I'm super excited because I'm a carpet guy. This person is a carpet guy. Rob's mad that they don't like scrub pythons.
Wow.
But, but we're talking with Steven from SBK Reptiles. So let's bring him on real quick.
Dude.
Boom.
What's up, dude?
What's up, guys? How's it going?
Pretty good, man. How about you?
Can't complain. Oh, Got eggs. Being laid daily now.
Hell yeah. I dig that. That's awesome, dude.
Internet lag.
Yeah, there's a little bit of lag. That's all right. Okay, so for the people who might not know who you are or how you got your start in reptiles, can you give us like a quick synopsis of what got you into reptiles?
Yeah. So my uncle was actually into reptiles, and when I was a kid, when I was about 4 years old, I'd saved up some birthday money, and my mom took me to Petco, laid all the change out, you know, birthday money, change, chore money, everything on the counter. The first time I ever felt like a baller was at 4 years old, and I bought a leopard gecko.
Yes.
Nice.
And so then after that, I was just kind of hooked. I mean, prior to that, I mean, you know, my mom would take me and my older brothers hiking. We'd catch some lizards, put them in a shoebox. And then at the end of the hiker trail, we'd dump them all out and see them running. And it just always fascinated me. And so she always encouraged it. You know, she'd take us to reptile stores, different things like that. And so then after getting, you know, my first leopard gecko, it just grew, you know, kind of like the rest of us. You can't just have one. You say just one more.
Of course, before you know it,
you got a room full of them.
Legit.
I dig it. Yeah, I feel that. Yeah, very much so. Leopard gecko and then insanity after the leopard gecko.
Yeah, pretty much that quick.
Yeah. So do you keep any lizards?
I went 0 to 100 real fast.
Do you keep any lizards right now, or is it all snakes?
All snakes right now. One day I want to get back into lizards. Hopefully that'll be when I'm a homeowner, because right now I'm still renting. It's just kind of tough with my work schedule, the space I'm allotted, and things of that nature to do lizards and truly care for them the way they should be cared for. Whereas snakes is way easier.
Yeah,
for sure.
What kind of lizard are you going to get is the real question.
I'll probably end up doing African fat tails, crested geckos, leopard geckos. I want to do Naltonis. I want to do that. I always butcher the name, but I think it's like Strophis or something like that. That Australian gecko that
looks
like
it has.
Oh, yeah.
Nice. Those guys, and then hopefully somehow, some way, laws will change, and then I could have Fiji Island iguanas.
Yeah, hell yeah!
We can only hope. We can only hope.
Right.
I told Ty Park,
I just won't post pictures.
Yeah.
Ty Park.
Legit. No one needs to know.
Right.
Yeah,
no, I feel like a part of it, though, in keeping it isn't just keeping it for you. It's like keeping and sharing with the community, though. So it'd be really tough.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, for sure. Oh, for sure. For sure. Oh, man. Okay. So the most important thing here, I might be biased, but the most important thing here is carpet pythons.
I mean,
that's the whole reason.
Sure.
That's the whole reason anybody ever keeps snakes. It's for carpet pythons.
Wow, everybody? No.
Yeah, okay. Everybody. That's the whole reason anybody ever keeps snakes. It's just for carpet pythons.
I mean, when you see a black and yellow jungle, like even if you don't like snakes or you know, carpets in general, you go, okay, that's a cool looking snake.
That's true. That's true. So so you've got a lot of carpets.
I got a couple.
Oh man. So is there of the four major subspecies, coastals, bred lion, IJs, and jungles, is there one that is like absolute favorite, like couldn't live without?
Would probably have to be the IJs couldn't live without, which it used to be initially bred lion.
Okay, all right. I can deal with that. I can deal with that for sure.
IJs, man. IJs, I'm just saying.
Yeah, but IJs, and you've for got sure. some amazing IJ stuff. Like, mm-hmm. absolutely amazing. Rob and I were geeking out about the striped IJ one. Stuff.
Yes.
Oh, yeah. Boy.
I might need some
I'm
of that.
Definitely, I'm definitely excited for the striped IJ stuff that I have planned out for years to come.
Yeah.
Hell yeah.
Yeah, buddy.
And I think that's one of the things when it comes to Morelia, like, you have to be in it for the long game. You know, because I mean, of course, yeah. there's morphs and stuff, but I think some of the coolest stuff we can do with carpets is the polygenic stuff.
Selectively breeding.
So you've got to be thinking, you know, 2, 3, 4, 5 generations ahead, you know, on what you're really trying to work towards. And man, striped IJs, I'm okay with that.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, hell yeah.
I think something else that people forget is before the morph craze with the ball pythons. Is they were imported by the thousands. And that's kind of how the morph craze came to be, was people, you know, the common morphs, albino, pied, stuff like that. Some of the original pastel, the original ones became popular, were reproducible. And then people would look through piles of imports and say, hey, that one looks a little bit different and funky. Let's breed it and see what happens.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. We have 1,000 other possible things we can do. It was like, we have 4 options. Let's see what we can make with this.
Yeah.
Oh man. No, it's so true, man. It's so true. Yeah.
I definitely have that mindset with the IJs minus the morph craze.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, because a lot of people go straight for like the granites or the azanthics with the IJs, and I think that some of the best looking IJs that I've ever seen have not been morphs. They're just like straight up selectively bred. Like people chose, okay, I like the orange flames on this one right here, but I want wider bands on it, and they just breed for that to make this like boom, like the old Spitfire line stuff. That's just like boom. It just blows your mind when you see a picture of it. You know?
Hell yeah. Absolutely.
Oh yeah. Or poster child.
Mm.
Oh yeah. Mm. Yes. Yeah. Absolutely. The one thing that's really cool with IJ stuff too is we can still get those imported. So we can still get new blood of the IJs coming in periodically. And I think that's, when it comes to carpets like that, that really is a precious novelty about the IJs, because we can't do that with any of the others.
Yeah. None that anyone talks about, at least.
True, yeah. True.
You don't post.
We're trying to keep this above ground.
Above board, that's... Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
We all know that Eric Burke has embricata. Okay, yeah. We all know.
He's gonna send us out.
He's gonna send in hate mail after his house gets raided or something ridiculous. Like, you assholes.
Oh my gosh. Man. So I'm a stripe person when it comes to so many reptiles, but I want to talk about the striped jungles that I had gotten from you a while back that are doing absolutely wonderfully, that look amazing.
I'm in love with those snakes. I'm just saying.
It's true. Every time he comes over and he sees those, he's like, "Good!
Look at that thing."
It's really cool. And I love those animals. That experience for me was also one of the most intense experiences of man, I wish I didn't necessarily do that trade, because anytime I see you post a picture of that zebra that I sent you, I'm like, fuck, wow, that one was really, yeah, nice.
Yeah.
And then I just have to stare at those striped girls a little longer and be like, no, it was the right choice. It was the right choice.
Oh, man. That's funny. Yeah, it's a two-way street with that, though. I look at that thing and I'm like, that's hot. But then I look at yours and I'm like, fuck. Ah.
Oh, man. It's,
can't we just keep them all?
Dude. I mean, the answer is yes, but we'd all go broke then very quickly.
Yeah, people get all upset, yeah, with you. They're like, you didn't let go. I need the good stuff. And you're like, I need the good stuff to make more good stuff.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
I've mentioned it a couple of times, but my actual personal mindset is to share a lot of the good stuff for two reasons. One is, if I only sold junk, then that would get posted eventually and people would say, oh, that's what SBK Reptiles produces. Nah, mm-hmm, I don't want to buy from him. And so then that would end. And then two, let's say something catastrophic happens. A virus goes through my collection, catches on fire. Everything freezes because power goes out, you know, and then I lose everything versus spreading the love, as I like to call it, sharing. And then saying, hey, I didn't want to sell this to you, but I did. Please let me know when you breed them and I will buy babies back from you.
Yes. Yeah. 100%. I can dig that. 100%. So when it comes to, cause you've also got a fair bit of jungle stuff too. So when it comes to these projects, like the IJs and the jungle stuff, like what are some of the immediate things that you're trying to work towards with those projects? Like obviously the striped IJs are one thing, you know, and you've got some banger jungles, you know, with the crazy contrast. So like, what are some of those things that you really like look towards when you're working out projects?
I'm still kind of like a all colors of the rainbow type of person. Like I have all flavors. I need to have it all still.
Yeah.
So like, I'm still working with like some animals that have a lot of tipping. Mm-hmm. Actually right now I don't have any really striped jungles. That project's kind of like on the back burner right now. Mm-hmm. Pure stuff. So like the Lazic stuff that I got from Price. Mm-hmm. And then some of the zebra stuff. I'm trying to make, you know, zebras or super zebras, excuse me, known for, you know, looking like what a jungle looks like minus the black. Right now, most people picture a super zebra as a tan or brown snake.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so we want to make that pop.
Yes. Yeah. But that's really it. Just kind of a few different things for the jungles.
Mm-hmm. I definitely dig that. And yeah, I think there's only been a couple times I've ever seen a super zebra that's really like been like, oh,
popping.
That's quite impressive. Mm-hmm. But the rest of them are, yeah, typically just a patternless tan snake, and you're like, ah, I can live without that.
Yep. It's like, really?
Yeah. Yeah, you look at a zebra and you're like, dude, the super for that has to be the most insane thing ever. And you're like, nah, here's like an earthworm.
That's okay.
And you're like, oh, that's great. That's awesome. Thanks. Thanks for that.
It definitely is a kick in the nuts.
Yeah, for sure.
Oh, Nelly.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. Oh my gosh. I saw on your Instagram the other day you posted, I want to pull it up right now, and I'm going to hopefully show the camera for those who are watching on YouTube. Hopefully it comes out really well. The Azanthic granite.
Oh, python, yeah.
That comes out. Oh my gosh. That thing? What do you do with that?
Crossing my fingers and hoping she doesn't die on me for something stupid, because you know that's how it always goes.
Of course, yeah.
Not getting my hopes up. That's why I haven't posted her that much. But since day one, she's stood out and been just kind of a unique one. Her sister is also an Azanthic granite. I made two in that clutch. And the night and day. I mean, Azanthic granite is a sweet combo, but that one that you just showed that I posted the other day, is just phenomenal. It's lights out.
Yeah, dude, when that popped up on my feed, I was like, oh my god.
Oh.
Oh my god, that's it. that's it right there. Yeah, no other carpet needs to exist after this. It's just...
I don't know. I want to see a bright yellow super zebra. That's all I'm saying.
I mean, me too, but damn. I mean, it's like
that
it's,
is nice.
It's like it's nice. So silvery. It's like got this blue,
yeah,
light
it does
blue
look
hue
almost
to.
Blue
I mean,
gray,
it's,
yeah,
it's crazy. Yep. It really is crazy. So
what direction are you going to take that in? Or are you hoping to take it in?
I have no idea. I really keep telling myself somehow, some way, because she's stunning. Like just before I breed her, or just before eggs come, she's going to drop dead on me.
No.
I know, it's just what I keep telling myself. I know, it's just what I'm thinking, and yeah. I don't hope for that, obviously. Mm-hmm. But I think that if you know I get her to adult size, I'll either pair her to another Azanthic granite, mm-hmm. or I'll probably go the way of like a imported, really nice, really light IJ. And work. Trying to get a different look or something. I don't know.
Breed it to a stripe. Make it striped. I want to see a stripe and then speckles down the sides. Come on, just the...
That's Rob. Your Borneo lover showing.
I know. I picture that like with a white stripe down the back and then like the speckling all along the edges. Who knows if that would even translate? But man, would that be cool?
Yeah.
So you're thinking of white lines.
Yeah. I mean, it's a cool. Why'd I do that in the mic? What's going on right now?
Oh, no.
Yeah, the first one, you'd have to name it 8-Ball. So.
Game. Deal. Video evidence right here. We're doing it.
That's terrible. This is recorded for all the rest of eternity. This is bad.
Like the reptile community don't know what's up.
Listen, okay, we've all been to Tinley or Daytona and seen some shit. I'm just saying.
Yeah.
that's too rough.
Why?
You meet in the middle of a parking lot in the middle of the night. You trade goods snakes. For cash. It's snakes for cash. Drugs for cash. It's all the same. You're always looking over your shoulder.
The police. I had one time where I was meeting up with some friends who were coming. So they stayed at a friend's house and I stayed at a hotel. And so when I got out of the hotel, they were driving back up to New England with me. So I'm sitting in my car in the parking lot and I'm looking across the street and there's a police car just sitting there. And so I'm like, oh man, as soon as my friend pulls up, the police officer is going to come over here and they're going to start harassing us. And so we're sitting in the car. It's like 20 minutes. And then my friend's car pulls up next to us. And so I get out of the car because I had some tarantulas. I had to give them some tarantulas. And the police car immediately whips across the street, lights on, pulls up right behind us. What are you doing right now? And I'm like, I know that you're not going to believe me right now, but these are spiders. And he's like, what now? You got what? And because he sees the vials and he's like, you're lying. And I'm like, okay, fine. So I like open it up and show him the spiders. And he's like, oh, that's messed up. I wish that it was drugs. That's terrible.
I wish it was drugs.
I was like, man, you can't make this shit up. It is insane.
Yeah.
That's funny.
Yeah. He was like, why do you have spiders in your car? And I was like, well, we came down here for a reptile expo. He's like, a what expo? Oh my goodness.
Why couldn't it be guns?
Yeah.
Yeah. Guns or even like a XXX expo.
Literally.
Legit.
he was very confused, a little bit upset, and then he was like, okay, you guys got to get out of here. We're like, okay, we'll leave, don't worry.
That's
we'll leave just after we trade drugs for these spiders.
I'm glad he didn't check every vial. It's like
that's too freaking good, man. Absolutely.
Yeah. So what projects are you excited for this season? Do you have a ton of stuff going this season? You got a few things going this season? This season's been late for me, so I'm like, ugh.
I've been late on a few things and right on time for others because I looked at the dates like, oh, you're on track, which
yeah.
is strange because I felt like I was late. Mm-hmm. I'm actually really, really excited. There's one other person besides you two that know it, I think. Because I don't think I posted it on Instagram.
Tell us.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, I know that's okay, but you guys will hear it first.
Yeah.
and everyone else that's watching live. But
yeah.
I paired a farm hatched striped male proven breeder
yeah.
to my Azanthic IJ female.
Yeah, buddy.
Oh, yes. Uh-huh.
Hell yeah.
So
see, you're already setting up to have striped head Azanthics so that you can have striped Azanthics head granite, and then boom, you've got the striped Azanthic granite. He's yep. got it. Hell yeah, that's so awesome.
That's what I'm working on. And in one part of my head, I tell myself, I could potentially be making double heads if that stripe is recessive.
True.
No way to know true. Until that's I breed true. It, right? Yep. It is an import.
Yeah.
Not likely. You know, I just like to joke and wish.
Yeah.
But otherwise, yeah, for sure, they're 100%. They will be 100% head Azanthic. And I could just work the striped animals. And then line breed that literally
badass.
That's freaking awesome.
That's awesome.
That's awesome. So as far as the stripe goes on the imported animal, is it like just like a solid single stripe, or is it like a really notable, like wider stripe?
It's like more like a genetic stripe, bred live versus like a pinstripe.
Okay.
Cool. So that's it's cool. wider.
Yep.
I've posted pictures of him before. It's my male that I named Willie.
Oh, okay. Mm. All right. Cool. Yeah.
That male, if you guys have ever seen that.
Yeah, I think I've seen a couple pictures of him.
That's awesome.
So that's probably the project I'm most excited for. I did happen to pair a Jag double head Azanthic granite to a double head Azanthic granite. But I didn't see any locks, so I backed her up by a Azanthic granite double het male.
Okay.
So we'll see. If there's any Jags in there, we'll know he did the job. If there's mm-hmm. not, we won't know for certain because technically, you know, he could have just missed on the Jag gene, but yep. I don't think he did the job.
Yeah.
Okay.
At least you had something to back it up with that was worthwhile, though. And you weren't like, oh, well, I guess I got to, you know, throw some junk in there and just pray for today.
Wonder what will happen if I throw this ball python in there.
Yes.
Oh, no.
Yes. Hybridize everything.
No.
Make the internet mad.
No. Just throwing a spare bowling eye mail.
Oh, no. No. I'm
just kidding.
No.
One of the guys who were comes up and volunteers at Nerd, who used to work at Nerd, he took one of the zebra males and was breeding him to a zebra jag female, and he's like, man, I have not seen a single lock on these snakes, and he's like, I don't know if he's gonna do it. And then for Christmas, his family gave him security cameras for his room, and so he set them up on his reptile cages mm-hmm. so when he's gone, he can look at it. And he noticed after like scrubbing through the video that the male and the female would only lock when he wasn't home. So like when he would go out to school for the day, boom, they'd go right over, they'd lock up for a couple hours, and then right around the time that he would be coming home, they would separate and they would go off to the other side.
It's ridiculous.
And it was like consistently he would see it a couple times throughout the week where as when he would leave they would lock up, and when he would come home they'd be separated. But like if he didn't have that on there, he would never know, like you would never known. See any locks yeah. on it. So you never
such
know.
complete bullshit. Don't they know how much stress they cause us when we don't see the lock? Don't they know?
They're that's like, so this true. Weirdo is watching us do it right now. Are you kidding me right now?
Dude, I like Candles, play some Marvin Gaye.
Yeah, hey, right.
Hey, whatever gets it done, that's all I'm saying.
Oh my gosh, that's actually ridiculous.
I'm this close to asking a bulldog breeder how they do it and what I need to do it for snakes.
Yeah, the artificial insemination stuff.
Yeah.
I wonder if you could do that with snakes, because snakes, they just kind of like, they've got like this passive way that they deliver sperm. So yeah. I don't know if you could do that.
I don't know.
Things that one make
day.
You go, hmm.
One yeah, day.
Years yeah, from
one
now.
Day.
When they figure that out, that's gonna be a wrap on a lot of stuff.
Yeah, if you think everybody's a ball python breeder now.
Yeah. Hold
on. Oh, goodness.
Little vials of sperm all over the place.
Oh,
like,
no.
You said this was a super pastel clown pied sperm. This was a pastel sperm. What are you doing to me? You paid so much. Like, oh my goodness.
When you see Morph Market initiate a sperm section, that's when you know it's over. This everything about what we do is over.
They're like, sorry, you got to sell on Craigslist at that point. Yeah. Like,
I thought it was bad when you see, you know, occasionally someone selling eggs online for you to take home and hatch.
Yeah.
Imagine selling sperm?
It's just sperm plugs. It's just constant sperm plugs. Just...
No.
They're all nasty. Dried up. Just add water.
I don't like this bath bomb.
I'm just saying, if anybody pays attention to Brian Barchick's vlogs, and he's been talking about, oh, I got these snake sheds. What do you think if we did snakesheds.com? And then, oh, I got all these alligator teeth. What if I did reptileteeth.com? Oh, I've got all these sperm plugs. What if I did reptilesperm plugs.com?
This episode has gone off the rails. Yeah, what is going on right now?
I don't know what we're talking about anymore.
Sorry.
No, it's all good.
It wasn't me.
Yeah. It's true. At the very beginning of this, he was like, just don't say anything about the internet or what's happening in the industry right now, because I don't know shit.
And now we're talking about sperm plugs.
Here we are talking about Brian Barchick is going to start reptilespermplugs.com.
Yeah.
That's terrible.
I gotta ask, with the jungle stuff, like, one of my favorite things to see right now is people who are kind of breeding out the what is it called? Oh, not flecking.
The tipping,
the yellow tipping in the black on the jungles. And I am waiting for someone to breed towards the all black carpet python, like selectively breed for just the all black jungle. And I've seen some pretty real dark stuff come out of what you're doing over there, dude. I'm just saying, I really like
it. That's the route you want me to go?
I mean, if you don't do it, when I'm looking at expanding my reptile room and like expanding and opening up a few more spots for things, I'm definitely trying to do that. But you are at a much better place to do it before I do it. So. I'll just set up
Rob Project.
There we go.
Yes.
The all-black carpet python, the creeping.
The creeping. Dude, when you get an all-black jungle, if you don't call it the creeper.
Oh, yeah. Dude, that'd be mint.
Hell yeah.
That'd be so cool.
What's funny is there's a few snakes that I know specifically. Nate Jameson of, Sin City Gecko, had produced that were like high black. Very little yellow. Like you would almost think that you could count the rosettes on it because they were just kind of a few yellow patches. I want to say, just off the top of my head, it was either his Soul Glow or Princess stuff that produced, or maybe it was like a night shadow or something. There's a few snakes that he did and some people have descendants from that, and they look quite similar, but they only have like the one off animal.
Son of a sea biscuit. That's upsetting.
There you go, Rob.
I have to go do a deep dive and look for these things so that I can find one, because oh my goodness, that sounds amazing.
I'll have to send you the link. There's a link that has all like his website that's archived.
Yes.
And you could see all that. Cause I mean, he's been gone for probably about 10 years now.
Damn.
Oh man. Yeah. That's crazy. Just shy of making the all black jungle.
I know.
Missed it by that much. I don't know. Just add some GHI to it. You got it.
Oh, dude, I think that I'm pretty sure this person's in Australia, but I just started following them on Instagram. It's s.s_Morelia, Sean Carroll. And holy crap, they got some black jungles. And I'm like, okay, yeah, that is my jam. Oh, yeah. It's just so dark. I love that. I need some of that in my life.
Just be patient. A few more years.
Hell yeah, legit. Hell legit. Yeah. Oh, my gosh.
That's where it's at. I'm just saying, because people have bred for the selectively bred for the yellow. So they've got like there's, you know, back in the day, there was like a couple people who had really yellow jungles. But now there's like a decent amount of people who have got like really bright yellow jungles. And now the people are starting to work with like different lines of patterning and, you know, doing stripe stuff and stuff like that. But I feel like the black people have just kind of ignored. I feel like if anything, people have been trying to breed the black out of the jungles, like trying to create more yellow. Did I just say that?
Yeah, oh, yeah, that's what you said.
You just kind of glazed right over it too. He's like, you know, the yellow guys, the stripe guys, but the black people.
Oh my God.
Good job.
Well, oh boy.
Oh, that's great. We're having a great time.
Oh yeah.
What I'm saying is,
no, I got you.
People have been breeding for that yellow and trying to reduce the amount of black on the jungles to just really show off that yellow and trying to get more of that black on there is just like, I think a couple people I've seen doing stuff like that, and I'm like, I'm closely watching.
Yeah. No, I definitely think that would be pretty cool to see. To get to that all black carpet.
I agree. Did you ever see the picture? I don't remember if it ended up being photoshopped or a one-off animal that never survived, but the black panther that was produced, it was supposed to be a jungle. No, it was a jungle.
I don't think I saw that. I remember seeing a really dark IJ, but I didn't see the really black jungle.
Yeah, if you Google that, I'm sure that'll come up. There's somebody in the community that has that picture. And it's probably at least 15, if not maybe 20 years old now, that image.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. And nothing ever came of it. Like I said, I don't remember if it ended up being Photoshop or the animal didn't survive. There's just some kind of shadiness about it.
Wow.
Oh, Rob just found the picture.
Oh, wow. That's dark.
That's very impressive.
Yeah.
That's interesting. That's pretty cool. It's so impossibly black. That's an IMG boa. That's people. Yeah. Sorry, there was another picture right next to that was an IMG boa.
You're like, oh, that's the one. Yeah, no.
That jungle looks like a boa.
Yeah. Yeah.
Damn.
Yeah, okay. Those ones are IJs right there.
Yeah. West but I'm liking that idea.
Wow, those are interesting. That's pretty cool. It's pretty cool. Like it looks that. Like something it looks to strive like a, for. A cooler white lip python.
Yeah. Definitely a cooler white lip python.
It doesn't want to draw blood, you know. I'm just saying.
Yeah, of course. Of course. Oh my gosh. That's ridiculous. Oh man. So is there actually before I go down that road, how do you feel? I have to ask because it's a carpet python buzz topic right now. How do you feel about the true hypo coastal carpet stuff?
How do I feel about it? Like,
yeah,
in like, what regard?
I know, like, there's some people who are like, they see it, they're like, okay, this is cool. But then there's some other people that are like, well, we've already got that with caramel. Like, why do we want to do this? And then some people are frustrated because some of the immediate pairings seem to be like hypo right into caramel, and it was like, well, why are we doing that? Okay. Like, why not keep things divergent?
So for me, there's actually probably the first podcast I did with NPR with Eric. I had mentioned, you know, that caramel, something along the lines of like, we don't have hypo and we won't. So I just kind of wrote it off, like, you know.
Yeah.
And so I just used caramel as hypo, even though I wasn't a big fan of caramel and I knew they were separate. It was just kind of like, that's in Australia.
Right.
And so little did I know, put my foot in my mouth because there was some in Europe or what have you, a different strain maybe. I think hypo coastals are prettier than caramels, but that's coming from someone who wasn't that impressed with caramel from the start. Don't get me wrong, there's some cool combos with it, But like when they started breeding caramel and albino and they wanted to call it a sunglow, for me, I was always like, that's not a sunglow. Hypo and albino is a sunglow.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. There's some cool caramels out there and caramel combos, but for me, hypos are definitely prettier. And when you look at them side by side, you can see the difference.
All right, cool. I dig it. I dig it. I'm pretty I'm in a pretty similar mindset on the project, but I know it's a Morelia buzz topic right now, especially as like just more work is being done with the hypo gene, and we're still really investigating what's possible with it. So I just had to ask.
Do you have any?
No, I don't. I don't. No. I have a likely super caramel albino female that's here that I'm raising up, and I love her. I don't know if I would I don't know if I would do anything with the hypo gene if it popped up, you know, and I had the chance. Maybe. But okay. I'm not out there like I need I'm not calling Nick every 5 minutes to get a hypo.
Okay.
So what I was going to ask,
I'll put you on my list.
All right. Okay. There you go. What I was going to ask though was, is there a carpet project that that you're like, man, I really want to add that into what I'm doing already?
Probably more inland stuff. And then I have hypo bread lye. I have stonewash bread lye. But a hypo stonewash obviously would be sweet. But actually, a true hypo coastal with albino and azanthic. So what do they call that?
Moongla.
Yeah.
Yeah. That is
I think that would be pretty cool.
Uh-huh. And I had a snow project that they were just ready to breed, and I had seen pictures. Somebody posted a adult snow.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, man, that looks like the ugliest faded washed out albino ever. And I sold my adult double heads.
No,
I should have just bred them, raised up a female, then bought a hypo male later.
Yeah.
And continued on with the project, but you don't know what you don't know. And I was just, I was that disgusted with a snow as an adult, you know, when it's young, it looks cool, but an adult snow carpet python is not impressive, if you ask me. That's just my opinion. But I was like, oh, I don't want it. Why continue the project? And I don't do things for money. At the time the project was hot, could have at least got 4 to 5 G's per snow at that time.
Mm-hmm.
But I was just like, yeah, nah. I sold the adults.
That's painful.
Living, you learn.
Yeah, but that's true. That is very true. Yeah, I the snow project has been a project that has eluded me for many, many years. I have an azanthic male and a big albino female. And the first year I tried to breed them, he was just too young. I was just kind of like anxious and was like, oh, you know, it could probably breed. And I threw him in there and like nothing happened. The second year is when I moved up here. So she was moving in the right direction. And then I moved here, had to move all of my stuff, and she just turned off and didn't go. And I was like, okay, understandable. And then this past season, that male just wanted nothing to do with breeding anything at all, period, point blank. And I was like, okay, I'm not meant for a white carpet python, I guess. I can't even get to step one of producing hets. And I'm like, every year I'm losing out on this. I'm 3+ years that further from achieving the goal because I have to raise them up. So I was like, you know what? I think
some double heads.
Yeah, I think it might be time to just buy a couple double heads or just straight up buy a snow.
Yeah.
How much are
snows right now?
I have not know what they were going I don't look going for the last prices. Time I saw them available.
I think snows are still in that 35 to 4 range right now.
Okay.
Yeah. That's pretty fair given that, you know, I mean, double recessive combos are not common at all with the carpets, really. So
right.
Yeah.
There's only a couple that you could do.
It could happen.
Just keep working on it.
Yeah, I'm going to try it. I'm going to try it again and hope to God I'm not disappointed.
Do you have an albino male?
Do I have an albino? I have to think about that. Do I have an albino male? No, I don't.
You don't.
No.
Do you have a super male of anything?
No.
You got zebra jag, right?
I have a zebra jag male. Yeah. Zebra jag male, but no.
Still don't count.
No.
The reason being is if you have a super or an albino male, you can back up your azanthic and you can still be breeding that female and you'll indefinitely know who dad is.
Yeah, that is true. I don't know. I've been on this put all my eggs in one basket thing for this project.
No,
and it's not treated me very well. It's a poor move on my part. But in my defense, it has not been my sole focus of my carpet python breeding to only produce the snow. I've had way other important or focal point based breedings with my carpet stuff. So this was just kind of like, I want to do it because I think a white carpet is cool. And that's pretty much been about it. But every time it eludes me, I get a little more depressed.
Sounds like you got a problem. You're chasing them white lines, huh?
Recurring themes.
He's a jazz musician.
It's true. We do some shitty things.
Do you breed based on timeline or what do you do?
So I've usually done it based off timeline. I mean, the nice thing with New England is going through all four seasons, you know, a lot of times every house I've been in kind of goes through a natural temperature change and everything. And it has worked really well at just getting females to cycle all around the same period of time. When it comes to the jungle and coastal and IJ stuff, sometimes the bread line need a little bit more coaxing, getting them a little cooler, but usually it's enough to get things kind of going all in the same direction. So usually by January ish I've got females that are like jacked with follicles and are breeding hard, and then by April, May I'm getting eggs from stuff. And that's how it's been for, I don't know, probably the better part of 7 or so years for me. So, which I'm very grateful for, because I know there are certain other ways to get some stuff to happen, but I'm grateful that things have been able to stay pretty cyclical.
That's good.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah. How about you? Is there a different method that you have? Because I know you're in California, so.
Don't say it like it's so bad. Jeez.
Well, no, okay.
I mean, it is California.
Listen, it is California. But I mean, you guys have well, I don't know exactly what part in California.
Triple digit Novembers.
But you guys have very few major barometric pressure shifts or major temperature shifts for the most part, especially in Southern California. So how do you work on that?
We have one season hot.
Yes. Yep.
What I normally do is I follow the weather. So as things start to cool down, I'll start to gradually slow my animals on how much I feed them, and I'll start to cool them along with the temps. You come across occasional curveballs, like I mentioned, the triple digit November days where you're just like, what the heck? but you just kind of go with it. My females or males look hungry, I'll usually feed them a small meal, sometimes a big meal if it's early enough in the year, like September, October time. But otherwise, follow the weather. And then what I learned and what I've been doing, I think this year will mark year number 4. Is grateful that actually Todd Dyer taught me, met up with him, and he taught me how to palpate female.
Yeah.
And so, you know, if you're in tune with your collection, you could pretty much eyeball it. You see just a little bit of a swell and you're like, okay, let me check now.
Yeah.
And then you palpate, and when she's big and prime, I'll throw the male in for literally one night. He'll lock with her. I'll pull him out, and that's my breeding season now. Before, wow. It used to be all timeline, pulling my hair out, stressing, not seeing locks, this, that, and the other, as like how most people breed, which mm-hmm. it still works. It's just a lot more frustrating because you want them to breed when you want them to breed, when you introduce them. You know, right. When it rains, when it this, when it that. But I'm grateful that Todd showed me that because I don't think there's very many people in our generation of keeping that know how to palpate. You know, we have technology now, so you could use an ultrasound machine. And you get the same results. You're checking for, you know, when the female's in prime development for her follicles. It's the same right. outcome. But that's kind of what I do now. I just introduce the male for one night, and I pull him, and that's it. It's pretty cool.
That's nuts. That's yeah. nuts. And it's clearly working. So like, your production is crushing. So it's clearly working. I that's such a bizarre sounding concept. I mean, like not being in tune either collection, that doesn't sound bizarre, but just only having one lock and then being like, well,
that would have
done.
Me like pulling it's my done. Hair out.
Yeah, be we'd like... be like, didn't do it enough. I'm not seeing those locks. Yeah. I'm not seeing those locks.
Yeah.
Oh, man.
It's, go ahead.
I was just saying, it's weird because that's kind of how tarantula people do it, is that you just pair them like once. You get one good like insertion, is what they call it, one good lock with the tarantulas, and then you do not pair them again, because if you pair them multiple times, it can cause the female to push into a molt cycle because it like causes abrasions to her epigastric fro where her opening is, and it can push her into a molt, and when they molt out all the sperm, so it will negate your whole breeding.
Oh,
so
shit.
you pair them up once, you see one good thing, and then that's it. You don't pair them up anymore.
I'm sorry, stressed
all
out.
I could think of is like a plan B type scenario. Oh shit, I used the wrong male. Just throw them in again. Throw them in again.
Imagine if it worked like that. You're like, we made a mistake last night. We got to do it again.
You got to do it again. It's not working. Keep doing it.
Oh, my goodness. Oh, my God. That's too much. Too much.
Oh, no. Tarantula birth control.
Oh, yeah.
Just keep pairing them, man. Just keep pairing them. It'll all work out in the end, dude. Oh, my gosh. Okay, on that note, we're going to take a quick 90-second ad break. So hang tight, Steve, and we'll be right back. We are super happy to announce our partnership with Oasis Exotic Enclosures. A new startup cage manufacturer based in California, Matt and Steph Connard have taken their time developing a wonderful quality product. The VS31 enclosure is their flagship model. It's 31 inches by 20 inches by 20 inches. It's perfect for many smaller species of colubrid, boa, python, or even some nocturnal lizards. Made with industrial-grade polyethylene plastic via in-house rotational molding, these cages have the strongest bonds in plastic manufacturing. Each enclosure has molded-in, inverted handles on the sides, making moving from one place to another easier than ever. Each cage also has bolt-threaded inserts to allow you to connect cages vertically or secure them to a wall, creating impregnable security for that ever-growing collection. Also, a wonderful addition, the option to receive wall mounting brackets for your enclosure. That's right, you can attach this cage to any wall in your house at any height you desire. This wonderful patent-pending adaptation provides you the ability to take that cage you have just placed on a table or on the floor up higher without wasting valuable floor space. This also allows you to no longer loom above your pet before entering the enclosure, which is often a high cause of stress.
Matt and Steph have just begun their journey into cage manufacturing and have worked to put out a quality product at a comparable price to other companies in the industry. More innovations and designs are forthcoming, and we are excited to see Oasis Exotic Enclosures grow and develop. Please go check them out on Instagram at Oasis Exotic Enclosures and on the web at www.oasiscages.com.
Hey. Boom. So as always, guys, you can check out the links to Oasis Exotic Enclosures here in the YouTube video description. And if you're just listening to the audio version, it's in the notes, for the show. So, okay. We can't let the episode go by without Rob asking some scrub questions.
Scrub pythons. Oh. Why are they the best pythons ever?
I do happen to have one scrub. Getting another one. I had two and I lost my male. Sucks. Mm-hmm. Just one of those fluke things that happens.
Pythons happen. Yep.
Yeah.
But I plan to one day have Barnex and what are they? Cyclops?
Like the mountain stuff.
That's what I call them. Yeah. Mm. But I like them. I dig them. Yeah. Nothing wrong with them. I'm not against them. I just don't have very many.
I know. Dude, I think that one of the things that's weird is like I like scrub pythons a lot, and like I talk really nice about them on the show, and I get a lot of people who message me and they're like, so I've been listening to you talk about scrub pythons and I think I want one. And most of the time I'm like, you don't want one. Oh, like, gosh. You think you want one, but you don't want one. Like, it takes a very nuanced approach to handling to work with scrub pythons. Like, if you're just treating it like it's going to be, oh, it's just a carpet python, or it's just, you know, a little bit of a spicy reticulated python, it's like, no, they're not like that, and you're just gonna have a bad time.
They have some reach on them. Like, when they when they want to move, they can move, and when they want to shit all over your cage's face and everything to make a mess of you, they could do that too.
Yeah. I don't talk about the bad things.
Yeah. That's the kind of video that needs to get posted.
Dude, I've
so you like scrub pythons.
So you think you like scrub pythons. I've been slacking because I really want to do it's going to take me a while to record this video, but I really want to do a handling video on scrub pythons and just show how at different times of the day they handle differently, and they have a lot of different body language that you can read and go through, and how I approach handling them and even just picking them up out of the enclosure, because it varies depending on which scrub python it is that I've got, you know, from my little ones all the way up to my big ones, and my stuff that's captive bred as opposed to my stuff that's wild caught, and whether it's daytime or whether it's nighttime, it's completely different every time that I go in there. So for the people who would think that it's like, oh, I'll just, you know, what, it's whatever. And I'm like, oh, you're going to have a bad time. I feel like people, they scrub pythons have a really bad reputation, and I think that it's mostly from people who are just like, I'm gonna treat this like it's just another snake that I'm getting for my collection, and it's like, they are not just another snake you're gonna get for your collection. And you know, if you're interested in them and you do a bunch of research, maybe you'll enjoy it, but it's definitely not a, I don't know, it's just not like other snakes to me. It's not like most other snakes I keep or I've worked with, rather. Yeah, whatever.
Really? They're not like corn snakes?
I think that's more like, no, you know what? They're more like berms.
Oh, I hate you. I thought you were going to say like Calabar burrowing pythons, and I was like, okay. There is not one snake that is more different than a scrub than a Calabar burrowing python.
I wasn't going to go that far to the left.
Oh, my God.
Scrubs are dope. Didn't you breed some last year or 2 years ago?
I've been breeding them, but I haven't got any babies, so I'm not a scrub breeder. It's okay. I don't really care about all that much. Yeah.
That's right. Yeah.
I would like to produce some scrub pythons. But then if I do produce some scrub pythons, I already have a bunch of people who are like, you're gonna sell me one, right? And I'm like, I don't want to sell any babies. Sorry. I got people. See, if you want one, I'll maybe hook you up with one. But
maybe
I'm just saying that first clutch is mine. I've been fiending for that clutch of Barnex for like a while, and I've been slow growing my female. My female is 6 years old right now, And last year was the first time I tried to breed her. So she is 5 years old and she's only 10 feet long, 10 or she's probably around 10, 11 feet long. So she's not like a big barn act. She's not a really big one. Like most people are breeding them when they're like 13, 14 feet long. But I think that the age and the slow growing is more important than you know, people who grow them up quick. Because I know a lot more people who have been like, oh, I'm going to breed these things. They grow them up to 13 foot and then they just keel over and die. And it's like, I don't think their bodies are.
I wonder why.
Like right?
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Could you imagine?
Who'd have thought?
I just think that they're more sensitive to that than other snakes.
Do you think scrubs do better being fed more often smaller meals or less often ridiculously huge meals?
Oh, I don't do either of those things. Do you know what I do? I do medium-sized meals really far spaced apart. And then what I do is during the summertime or towards the end of the summer, I do every week. I'll do like quick, like a bunch of feedings all back to back just for a short period. So like a month, I'll give them like a super heavy feeding schedule, or a month and a half, they'll do a super heavy feeding schedule. And the whole rest of the year, I do super spaced out, like once every 2 to 3 weeks, I'll give them something decent size, you know, put a good lump in them. Not crazy. Like I've seen some people who give them like, you know, a scrub that's this big around and they're giving it like a large rat. And I'm like, oh no, I don't do that. I don't do that.
yeah, me neither.
I feed pretty conservatively, honestly, when it comes to the scrubs, because I posted a picture in the Scrub Python group a couple weeks ago of a scrub that I've had for a year, and I got it as like a little red baby, and it's a year old now, and it's like only maybe, you know, 3 feet long, just shy of 3 feet long, probably even less than that.
Yeah,
it's small. It's like maybe as big around as a quarter, mm-hmm. So it's not a very big snake, and a couple of people were like, oh, so you're slow growing it, I guess. And I'm like, yeah, I want it to live to be 30 years old, please. I don't want it to die when it gets to be 12 feet long.
And, I guess.
I've seen people who literally get like little babies and then in a year they're like 6 or 7 feet long. And I'm like, oh no, I don't think that thing's going to live very long. And that's just my opinion. You know? I might be completely wrong, but I mean, I just think that naturally it's more natural for them. A lot of these island species, they've got this cyclical feeding where there'll be like bird migrations that come through and maybe land on the island for 2 months out of the year or something, you know, as they're going from one place to another. And so they've got that one time where they can eat like a ton. And then the rest of the year, they're kind of just like looking for whatever they can get that might fit into their feeding size, you know, regimen. And on these islands, you know, it's very, because some of the islands are big, but you got to figure it's still an island. So they don't have this like vast array of things that they can eat that would be, especially for like bigger scrubs, they're probably not having a whole lot of things that they can eat throughout the year. They probably only have like a couple months where they're like really cramming themselves full of food. And the rest of the year, they're just kind of like reserving and, you know, maybe pick off something here and something there. But that's kind of how I look at it, is just like kind of I'm trying to think about how they might do it in the wild, you know?
Right. Yeah. I don't know. I've kind of treated the scrubs like my carpets in the sense that I don't fast grow them at all, but I do pretty large meals, but I space them out.
Yeah.
I space them out really far apart.
Mm-hmm.
You know, in the winter, pretty much everything, even my babies, I'm not feeding unless it looks like it is looking for food or it looks like it's losing a little more weight than I want it to lose. So then I'll give it some food. But otherwise, everything in the winter, really, I'm not feeding. And then in the summer, I'm not, you know, cramming them with food to grow them fast.
That's the way to do it.
But I do large meals.
Yeah. Well, scrubs can definitely handle the large meals. Like I've seen some scrubs eat some ridiculous things before. Their bodies can handle it. I just like for the ones that I do, I just personally like to do like a medium sized meal. So not something anything too crazy, but I think they can definitely handle it. I just don't do that personally with my stuff.
You baby them.
I do. I frick love things. I'm just like, please don't die. I just love you so much.
My first pair of bread lie back in 2010, they were ready to eat, you know, like small to medium mice. And I wasn't even ready to give them hoppers because I was babying them. And somebody had to tell me, they're like, dude, treat it like the rest of your stuff. Like, feed it. Why are you babying it? It was like, because they're bread lie. I don't want to kill them. I don't know. It was just, yeah.
Now you're like, ah, I just overthought it.
Yeah. Here's a rabbit.
Yeah. Bread lie are another one of those ones where, like, you see pictures of them in the wild. They're, like, eating a wallaby. You're like, oh, my God.
Yeah,
look
you're,
at
like,
that thing.
You're like, my sweet little bread lie? What?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh. Oh, that's awesome. All right. So we're winding down our time. I know Rob's got to get to work in a couple minutes. But before we say our goodbyes, we ask all of our guests one final, very important, it's the most important question of the night. And
who's
that
your favorite YouTuber? No, I'm just kidding.
No, that is what in the realm of reptiles, be it something in your own collection or something that you've seen scrolling the interwebs, because that's what most of our lives have been reduced to with everything that's going on in the world. So what in the realm of reptiles has you excited about reptiles?
Probably. Still going to be Bull and I.
Yeah.
There's
I
feel bad that I don't remember his name right now, but that gentleman who just got Bull and I eggs, you know, a few weeks ago. I think he's in Michigan. I could be completely wrong.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Hansner, I think, was his name.
You want to hear something funny? He actually bought those as babies from Bird.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow. That's the secret. Ago. You want to breed Bull and I, you got to buy them from Nerd.
Oh,
there you go.
Oh, don't there go and go. Say that. I'm going to get so much hate mail right now for that. Oh, my God. All
right.
Oh, man.
Anyways, and so it's even if they don't hatch, I don't mean to sound like a Debbie Downer. It's a huge step forward. And so I'm excited to see if those hatch. I'm excited for, you know, somebody else because if you know, remember the 4-minute mile? Like it wasn't possible or whatever the ridiculous time was. And then that one guy shatters the record and then a bunch of people shatter it the same damn year because they know they could do it now.
They can do it. Yeah.
And so I feel like this may be one of those things where everyone's like, it can't be done. It can't be done. Oh, that guy did it. And he's willing to share how he did it. Let's try that. And so I'm excited for that. And I really want Bull and I, and it's still on my list, so I think that's one I'm probably most excited for.
Sweet.
I dig it.
That's awesome, man.
Hell yeah. All right, so if people want to find out more about you or follow the stuff that you're doing, where can they find you?
Best and easiest place is probably going to be Facebook, number one. Steven Katz, my picture, my profile pictures, my jungle male Veloster. My business page is SBK Reptiles. And then after that would be Instagram, Twitter, and I'm not too active on YouTube anymore. I make videos. I just don't upload the content. I film often, and I just don't upload the content. It's just I'm not good with technology.
That's fair.
You saw me at the beginning of this podcast. You know.
Oh, man. Awesome.
And so it's at SBK Reptiles on pretty much everything, Twitter, YouTube, Instagram, Facebook.
Sweet.
Hell yeah, man.
I dig it, dude.
Dude, this is fun. I had a good time. Yeah. This is a great episode.
Me too. Thank you guys very much for having me.
Yeah. Most definitely.
Hell yeah, man. All right.
Take care.
We'll talk to you soon, dude.
You too. Thank you. Bye-bye.
Yeah. Bye.
Bye.